Just a reminder on the screen that when it says message up there, yes, that's to help you prepare that it's the message, but it also is a reminder to me it's time for me to get up. Today we're going to be talking about sanctity of life. And that has become very much associated both religiously and politically with one issue, which will be a significant part of the message today. But sanctity of life is authored in God, and therefore it behooves us to investigate the truth. So I think it's important for us to know what it is and what we need to do with it. Let us begin by taking a look at sanctity of life defined. We'd like to begin by turning in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now you can see that he was going to create man in his image. And so doing, then they were going to be ruling over all the earth. The fact that there was going to be a whole lot more people here than just the first man and woman is given in the text. But the important thing for us to know that in all of creation, man is the pinnacle. He is the crown jewel of God's creation. Why? Because man alone, mankind, humans alone, are the image bearer of God. Of course, there's ramifications with us having a creator and being a creature as part of that creation, that we would value all of life. But in the terms of valuing life, it's a special consideration we must give to human beings, because they and they alone are the image bearer of God. Now, as we look at this then, you know, obviously in our day, we see how that the sanctity of life is having application to various issues: abortion, embryo research, cloning, genetic engineering, euthanasia, and others yet to be revealed. Generally, when used by Christians, sanctity of life is that belief that we will oppose the practices that violate the intrinsic value of human life. I went and I looked for what would be a good explanation of the definition of sanctity of life, and it came out a whole paragraph. So please excuse me, if you will, that I'm going to give you the shortened version. Anybody who wants the longer version of it, I'll give it to you later. But for now, simply stated, sanctity of life is the belief of all human life is valuable and should always, in every situation, be treated with respect and dignity, regardless of any genetic, physical, social distinctive. All are of great worth and should be treated accordingly. Now, we believe in the sanctity of life, not because we have come to some great conclusion that this is going to be a moral cause worth fighting for. We believe in the sanctity of life because God originated it, and he commanded us to keep it. Flip over to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. Again, this setting apart. So we know that over in the Ten Commandments, it very clearly tells us, do not murder. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. As Jesus is expounding on this verse in the New Testament, he goes to some great length to describe how that any disrespect, any dishonor, any hatred toward another human being is murder in your heart. So that any disrespect to another human being flies in the face of God's command to us to maintain the sanctity of life. Secondly, let's see how this is applied, as it is most common, to the unborn. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The abortion subject is an extraordinarily loaded topic in our culture. And with such, these opposing views are so polarized that there's not much hope of us coming to any resolve. But since 1973, when abortion was legalized in the United States, we have been aborting 3 babies every minute of every day of every month of every year. Now, in saying that, that means we're somewhere well north of 60 million babies. It does not take a statistician to figure out that any time you're going to get 100 people together, someone has been directly affected by this scourge on our country. And for those of you here today that may be feeling the pain of this blight in your own family, may you understand the compassion of the Lord. For in this, God is a forgiving God, and life must move on. 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have been directly affected by abortion, acknowledge it. Tell God you recognize this is in violation of the sanctity of life that he has ordained. Confess it. Receive God's forgiveness and never, ever again let anyone, especially Satan, remind you that the guilt and shame of this is hanging over your head anymore. You know, it's funny that when we look at the consequences of abortion, it's accompanied by cycles of depression, doubt, regret, nightmares, guilt, and shame. That is not where God wants his children to live. May we all accept God's grace in our lives and live according to it. Now, as we come to this debate on the subject of abortion, it's always given under the guise that it's a woman's choice. But this is the real argument of where it is. It's like, well, you know, hey, I really didn't want to get pregnant, and so now that I am, I need to become unpregnant. It's a very, very difficult subject because it's basically saying that one person has the right to determine the fate of another person for the matter of convenience. If being unwanted was enough for any of us to be unwanted in life, would warrant our being extinguished. I know there's others in this room that could agree with me that, particularly as a younger man, I could probably find days under that exact same criteria I wouldn't have been found worthy to live. No civilized nation should ever give the authority to one human being to extinguish another human being based entirely upon their personal convenience. The Christian approaches the subject of the beginning of life is conception, because God is already at work doing what we read in Psalm 139 he does. But everybody else on the argument doesn't agree with that. I'm not saying we need to change our argument, but let's just breathe this one in for a moment. Medically speaking, for there to be life, there needs to be a heartbeat. There needs to be brain activity. Otherwise, you're declared dead. At 18 days, there is a discernible heartbeat in the fetus. At 40 days, there is distinguishable brain activity. By the time people figure out they have an unwanted pregnancy, by the time they figure out there's a problem, virtually no one gets an abortion before the 7th week of pregnancy. That's 49 days. That's after there is a heartbeat. That's after there is distinguishable brain activity. Therefore, under their own definition of life, abortion kills another human being. And as we think about how this taking of a life, we have just solved the argument they throw against us that we're a bunch of religious fanatics without using any morality or religious input. By their own definition, they're taking a life. It is not a blob of tissue. ...95% of all abortions are for convenience, to cover up an indiscretion. Less than 5% are for rape, incest, or some type of health or physical abnormality that would necessitate taking course. Less than 0.1%. In other words, negligible is the argument that it's about the possibility of the woman's health. From their own statistics, they condemn themselves that this is a violation of the sanctity of life. How do we get involved? Number one, volunteer. There's a call to order. There is a call to serve in this regard. You'll see out here from time to time that there's adoption centers, there's the Caring Pregnancy Center in which we are trying to help them out, make places available for people to have a place to go, that they can feel secure and make a decision that requires something other than the taking of a life. Secondly, let's just make it really, really personal. I don't know how many of you know Chuck Swindoll, but Chuck Swindoll did this 3 times in his family. 3 times in his family, he opened up his home and invited an unwed mother in, and so that the woman could make responsible, God-honoring decisions without the being thrown to the wolves in the world. He went through the inconvenience of the time and the money it took to raise that woman in her home until the point in which she gave birth and put the child up for adoption, because as a young mother was not prepared to keep the child. In all 3 cases, he changed eternity for 6 people, not only the unwed mother, but the child. Are we willing? Are we willing to stand for the sanctity of life to the point of welcoming grave inconvenience in our own life? And of course, then what else we need to do is we need to write and we need to phone. If you believe sanctity of life is true, I don't know how you could argue with God that it isn't. He said it is. These are his rules, not mine. We need to be writing our leaders. We need to be phoning our leaders and telling them, we believe in the sanctity of life, and here's why. And if you don't get on board with that, you won't have my vote. Can you imagine you're getting ready to flip the lever in the voting booth, and all of a sudden you get a tap on the shoulder, and you're like, well, hey, nobody else is supposed to be in here with me. And it's just like, well, it's okay, it's me, Jesus. And he says, so what are you doing? Are you honoring God with your life right now? That's what he's calling us to do. That's where we can make a difference. So I think that it's very clear. It isn't about choice. It's about taking a life. Finally, the one thing we can do in the area of abortion is pray. Pray for those that would be having to make tough decisions, that they would have available to them a loving place that they can find some respite from the circumstances they find themselves in and are able to make God-honoring decisions. We need to pray. God, you know, I'm doing what I can. I'm volunteering over here. What else do you want me to do? I said, just be available. Be available, because maybe they're coming to your home. We need to voice what we have to say. Because when it comes to standing up for God, we can see what kind of mess we're in as a country. Because those who have God in their heart are not putting that truth behind their voice and their vote. To let the world know, we do not accept things that are displeasing to the Lord. Okay, so within this, we know that as we pray, one more thing there before we finish. We need to take a look at praying for ourselves. We live in a culture in which the whole idea of a convenient abortion has happened because sexuality in our nation is so out of control. Unfortunately, we've adapted a much more lax attitude on the subject than we should. We know what God expects. We know what we need to do. And yet, if we aren't practicing in it in ourselves, at least we're willing to tolerate it in others around us. Let's not go harping on everybody else, but let's take a look at our own heart. What are my attitudes towards casual sexuality that only encourage the taking of innocent life? Should we not pray to God when it comes to the sanctity of life, that we put ourselves in the place, God, purify me? Let us pray. Finally, number three, impact on our life. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Two things there I want you to note very carefully. Number one, we are to be conformed to his image. As in all truth, why is biblical truth so important for us? Because of what it says there in the last phrase of verse 29. If there's going to be many brothers following us, it's because we've lived it out. We've come to understand it, so we know what to do. And when we do what we're supposed to do, God is at work drawing others to himself. And it's in that drawing that we know we get it. We get the truth. When it comes to the sanctity of life, though our culture has kind of embroiled this into a one-issue item. I want to finish by saying it is not. It would not behoove us to go ahead and set up that, boy, we are going to fight abortion because it is the taking of life, and it is, that we can argue very forcefully on the truth. Abortion kills, and it needs to stop. But that's not going to matter a whole lot if we aren't demonstrating the same sanctity of life when it comes to our treatment of the poor or the disabled or the elderly. We can see that regardless of the circumstances that we're going to be facing, you know, we're called in Scripture to take care of the widow and the orphan. How about the less intelligent? I know I have joked with several of you that when people do unsmart things, it can sometimes irritate, especially if they happen to be operating a motor vehicle at the same time. But the reality is the sanctity of life addresses that. And it says, even then, if they're acting unintelligently, they're due respect because they are the image bearer of God. We're only going to embarrass ourselves if we preach forcefully the evils of abortion, but do not demonstrate care and compassion to our fellow man. If we truly believe the sanctity of life, and we should, we will show it throughout our lives. God has established the sanctity of life. He originated it, and He expects us to carry it out as His representatives. May our lives evidence our belief in the sanctity of life as we live showing care and compassion, respect, honor to all people. Father, thank you for allowing us to consider your view on the sanctity of life. And Lord, how we can become very fervent on a particular subject that is a real scourge on our society. But it will only, our forceful preaching on the subject will only make sense within the context that we have lives that honor all people, that disrespect no one. That we live in such a way, our care, our compassion of others, that is a good gift through you, then we get, then we believe, then we obey your call to the sanctity of life. In Christ's name, amen. As we come to the conclusion of our service today, I trust you're motivated to be a defender of the sanctity of life. That you would be excited, though imperfect, that we all are, about living in such a way that people will know you believe in the sanctity of life by the way that you think, the way that you feel, and the way that you act. If anyone here has a decision that they would wish to make public or just wants to pour their heart out to the Lord and come up here and pray, would welcome you to do that at this time. Let us pray. Please stand. Sorry. Got ahead of myself. Lord, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. We will never in this life be able to fathom that. Oh, how we try your patience, and yet you approach us the same, new every day. Lord, may we respond as we should. May we take seriously the charge that every human being possesses the image of God and therefore is due our respect. May we attempt in your spirit to be better, that we can perhaps be a little bit clearer map on how to find the love of Jesus, who died that we may live. It's in his name we pray. Amen.